Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Secretary of State Vance today is nearing the halfway point in his visit to Peking. So far, the secretary has done a lot of talking, but no concrete results are apparent yet. And Bernard Kalb reports that Vance still seems to be waiting for an invitation.
The Chinese are masters of the art of diplomatic drama with sudden invitations to meet the chairman of the country at his hideaway villa or to meet with his senior deputy. But so far, almost midway in his visit to China, Secretary Vance has received no such invitation so far as is known. And this has touched off some speculation that the Sino-American talks have only confirmed the deadlock on how to deal with Taiwan. But this sort of judgment that Vance may get a cold shoulder from the senior Chinese leadership is vastly premature. There are still more than two full days to the Vance mission in Peking, and invitation is still possible. In that connection, one U.S. official says the atmosphere of the talks is good. The Chinese, as usual, say nothing. The Vance mission has now reached the point of interlude. The secretary spent 5 hours over the last 2 days outlining the U.S. view of the world, also underlining the U.S. desire to improve relations with Peking, but without abandoning Taiwan, which is what China wants the U.S. to do. The next move is China's. The question is whether China's private position contains nuances of flexibility on Taiwan. So far, no hint of that. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Peking.
President Carter today holds his 14th formal news conference. It will be broadcast live over many of these CBS radio network stations at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and undoubtedly it will contain questions about Budget Director Burt Lance's banking activities and related matters. Yesterday, the White House reported that in 1975 and 1976, Mr. Carter made 5 flights on a plane owned by the National Bank of Georgia, which Lance headed at the time, and that the bank was not reimbursed. Presidential News Secretary Jody Powell said failure to reimburse the bank was unintentional, and this oversight in campaign bookkeeping, to quote Powell, will be taken care of either by the president personally or through campaign funds. Powell gave the total cost of the flights as $1,793. He denied that Mr. Carter, in taking these flights on the bank plane, violated the campaign law prohibiting corporate donations to a candidate.
That's a long way down, Virgil.
Sit down and hold on. Easy.
Down a mountain road so steep that wagons have to slide on skids, a Wells Fargo stagecoach rolls on its high yellow wheels. High up on the tilting box, driver and guards swing back and forth from the edge of the bank to the edge of the cliff.
He's slipping around the back.
One mistake can plunge them into an abyss. At last, the road rises. The mountains open to either side. The horses stretch on out. The road is empty now. The mining town it served gone. But the outfit that ran this road and proved itself then is still in business. Still proving itself to people throughout California every working day. Proven, that's Wells Fargo Bank. Member FDIC.
The Wildcat coal miners' strike in large parts of Appalachia may be ending, but it's still too early in the day to tell definitely. David Dick reports from Smithers, West Virginia.
It would appear that the miners are returning to work. That is expected to be more evident as the morning progresses. However, the strike, which had lasted 2 months, did not come to a perfect end at midnight. At one mine on Cabin Creek, when the hoot owl shift began, some miners went home shortly after they reported for work. There seemed to be uncertainty and unwillingness to be the first to enter the mine. On the other side of the Kanawha River up Cannleton Hollow, another mine apparently had fewer absentees. There seems to be confusion about what the union has agreed to do. The UMW's International Executive Board approved a resolution yesterday to ask the coal operators to reopen negotiations on the disputed health fund. If there is no agreement within 60 days, it is understood, there then would be a general strike. David Dick, CBS News, Smithers, West Virginia.
British government mediators meet today with both sides in the airport labor dispute, a dispute that threatens to develop into a full-scale 4-day strike on Thursday by assistant air traffic controllers. As we hear from Mike Lee, the quarrel already has had a severe impact on travelers.
Some of London's airports, the ones specializing in charters and package tours, look like refugee camps. with hundreds upon hundreds of would-be travelers clutching airline tickets to exotic holiday resorts, eating less exotic airline sandwiches, and wondering if their hard-earned and long-planned vacations will be spent at gate number 13. Ironically, at the main airport, Heathrow, so many regular flights have already been canceled that the small crowds there make it look almost normal. But for the past 8 days, flights in and out of London have been delayed from 1 to 7 hours, and in many cases canceled because of a slowdown by air traffic control assistants, the people who log the airplanes, usually by computer, lately by pencil. And the slowdown has threatened to become a shutdown at midnight Thursday. The control assistants are upset because they've not received a pay raise promised to them in 1975. Mike Lee, CBS News, London.
The slowdown has now caused cancellation of today's British Airways supersonic Concorde flight from London to Washington.
In the Old West, Californians look to the Wells Fargo Strongbox to protect their treasures. And now, if you're in the retail business, Wells Fargo Bank has a box that will protect your treasure. It's called Wells Service. It's an electronic watchdog the size of a cigar box that instantly spots known check and credit card risks. Wells Service is a payment verification system that is both comprehensive and simple. Just type identifying information on the keyboard. Within seconds, the information you need is at your fingertips. Wells Service reduces check losses, eliminates the need for hot lists, and reduce customer checkout time. Wells Service is proven with 13 years of online experience. And best of all, there's no expensive hardware to buy. A modest monthly fee plus transaction charges are all it takes to get Wells Service protection. So let Wells Fargo safeguard your profits. To put Wells Service to work for you, just call Hillary Sullivan at 213-550-2418.
17 months ago, a ceasefire ended the civil war in Lebanon. Now the ceasefire appears endangered by persistent fighting in several parts of the country. Doug Tunnell in Beirut reports on one of them.
Despite conflicting reports about the pace of the combat, it is certain that the war in southern Lebanon is not over yet. Israel is helping right-wing Lebanese gunmen with arms, ammunition, and ground support in the south. Syrian units of the Arab peacekeeping force control the roads behind the Palestinian side of the front line. And there is almost constant fear in Beirut of an even wider confrontation over the now almost one-year-old conflict. The south is one of Lebanon's most potentially explosive battlegrounds, but it is not the only one. There has been more bloodshed between Lebanese Christians and Muslims in recent days. A gun battle in one mountain village on Sunday claimed at least 17 lives. Syrian troops have cordoned off the area around the troubled village, and government officials say they are now fully in control of the situation. Negotiations between the two sides are reportedly scheduled to begin today under the government's auspices. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Beirut.
CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb in Washington reports that the State Department has concluded that Israel has not violated American law by giving military help to the Christians in Lebanon.
The law states that a country receiving U.S. arms cannot transfer those arms to another country without Washington's permission. Apparently, that is not what Israel has been doing in Lebanon. Israel has been shelling Muslim and Palestinian positions in the southern part of Lebanon, but that does not involve a transfer of arms to a third party. In a related development, administration officials say that Syria has indicated an interest in the possibility of signing a peace treaty with Israel at the conclusion of a successful negotiation, but that there is nothing definite about that. Greater clarity about Syria's diplomatic intentions may emerge during next month's talks at the UN between Secretary Vance and Arab and Israeli foreign ministers. So far, what is known is that Egypt and Jordan have accepted the idea of signing peace treaties with Israel, but only after Israel has withdrawn to its 1967 boundaries and accepted a Palestinian state on the west bank of the Jordan. Two preconditions Israel has rejected. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
The Indonesian government this morning placed the official death toll from last Friday's quake and tidal waves at 80, with more than 60 people missing and about the same number seriously injured.
Suddenly, it's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the only small pickup with extra room inside for long legs and large loads.
Suddenly, it's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the only small pickup with reclining bucket seats and up to 11.3 cubic feet of storage space behind those seats.
Suddenly,
It's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the small pickup with an optional 5-speed, with more people room inside than any other, more storage space inside than any other. King Cab, another reason why more people own Datsuns than any other small pickup.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
Buy your tickets now for the California 500 at Ontario Motor Speedway and watch Datsun pace the race on September 4th. KNX News Radio Time, 7:11.
Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith and South African Prime Minister John Forster are about to hold their fourth conference of the year to discuss the Rhodesian political crisis. They'll meet Saturday in Pretoria. Britain and the United States have been coordinating their efforts to bring about a peaceful solution to the problem, but as we hear from Randy Daniels in Nigeria, these are critical days for the Anglo-American plan, and no one knows it better than U.N. Ambassador Andrew Young.
Young and British Foreign Secretary David Owen are planning a weekend trip to Zambia as the second stage of this latest diplomatic initiative to end the 4-year war in Rhodesia. But there are new factors that could complicate the Young-Owen mission. The attempt by the frontline states to integrate the fighting forces of Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe has failed. There is suspicion building in each nationalist camp that the plan may favor one group over the other. There is also the problem of what to do about Bishop Abel Muzorewa, who has a large following inside Rhodesia, but lacks the support of fellow African leaders. The Anglo-American plan must unite all these factions and be acceptable to Prime Minister Ian Smith. It must sit well with the frontline presidents, and it must be a palatable solution to appease the growing right wing in Rhodesia's National Front Party. The plan must be all things to all people, and almost no one here, not even Ambassador Andrew Young, is that optimistic. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Lagos, Nigeria.
South Africa today again denied reports that it's planning nuclear weapons tests. Responding to charges made yesterday by France, the head of South Africa's nuclear program said the entire project is devoted to the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. Sebastian Cabot, the movie and television actor, died early today at his home in Canada of a stroke at the age of 59. Actor Walter Pidgeon, age 78, has lapsed into a coma at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica and is in critical condition. 81-year-old pianist Jose Iturbe, hospitalized in Los Angeles, is reported doing well today following surgery for an undisclosed ailment.